Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up! Everybody!
Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help.
Said boy.
Need some help, y'all. Change the world from what it used to be.
Ain't
going alone.
Ain't going alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Wake up, everybody. This is your host, Earlene Green. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. We have a great show planned for you tonight. And joining me once again is my co-host, LaTanya Baskerville, who is the president and founder of Training Individuals Make Better Attitudes, also known as TIMBA. And TIMBA is a 501c3 organization. And also, LaTanya is the author of a published book called No Matter What. Hello, LaTanya. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Earlene?
I'm so good. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Absolutely.
LaTanya, as an author, I'm so excited to have this conversation tonight. What about you?
I am extremely excited. I am.
Wonderful.
I am truly excited.
Wonderful.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so let's get started.
Okay.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
They say that hindsight is 20/20. So my question is, what do you know now about writing your book that you didn't know before, before you actually wrote it? And I think I want to actually lead off by asking you why you wrote your book in the first place, and then we'll answer that question a little later on.
Okay. So the first question, in hindsight, what do I know now that I didn't know when I wrote the book, the difference between being published and self-publishing. There is a big difference between those two. I learned that during the process of writing the book, now being a self-published author. So that's the first question. Then the second one, why did I write the book? The book was driven on an emotional, I would have to say an emotional coping. I was going through something extremely harsh. I couldn't eat it away. I couldn't drink or smoke it away. I'm in recovery, you know. So my only thing was to write. And I just wrote and I kept writing. And before you know it, a book.
Okay. Very good. And so let me share with you why I wrote my book, because it's really interesting. First of all, I didn't want to do it. I kept putting it off until I surrendered and decided to walk in obedience, and that's because I never had any aspirations for writing a book. Now, I'm a training instructor, so, you know, I've always thought maybe I can write some training materials or training curriculum or what have you, but never an actual book, you know, as the one I actually wrote. But once I began to pray diligently and ask God for wisdom and direction, I then began to write the book because it became hard not to write it at that point. And that was primarily because I discovered that I had a lot to say, and it was a result of what I had learned through my wilderness experience. And so it was clear to me that my growth and development was something valuable, and that I could turn that valuable information into principles that would help me overcome a mindset or help me to help others overcome a mindset that kept them or that keeps them in financial bondage, and that could help them to also strengthen their faith and become wise stewards of the resources that God has actually given to us. But what I didn't do or think about doing, much to my disappointment and amazement, was to create a marketing plan that would position me to become a number one best-selling author and then leverage that title or that status to then become a leader and authority on the subject matter. And then that would, in turn, create additional opportunities for me to not only monetize my efforts, but to be able to help more people and not just individuals or people in my geographical area. And so I fully understood that more clearly when I had a conversation with T.C. Bradley, who was one of our guests tonight. So I'm really excited about talking to him tonight, as well as our first guest. So
okay,
let's get started, because our first guest tonight has limited time. Our show topic tonight is reading, writing, and arithmetic, becoming a best-selling author. And our discussion will explore the concept of reading, writing, and arithmetic somewhat as a framework for published and aspiring authors to distinguish themselves in the marketplace, monetize their efforts, and become a good steward over their gift. And here to help us have this conversation is someone that I was introduced to about 10 years ago, and how I have been following her for quite a long time, and I'm so impressed with all that she has accomplished in her business and how hard she works to empower others. I recently emailed her and asked her to be a part of the show, and even though she has another obligation tonight, she said, sure, I'll be on for as long as I can. So I was really happy that she agreed to come on and talk to us, and I'm excited to introduce you to Pam Perry. Pam Perry is an award-winning media mogul whose credits include Top 50 Entrepreneurs by Black Business Women Online, Top 25 Urban Professionals to Follow Twitter, and Startup Nation winner in 2010. And some of her features include Essence Magazine, Ebony, Jet, Black Enterprise, O Magazine, and she has made appearances on The Steve Harvey Show, The Oprah Winfrey Show, The Today Show, and more. And we are truly blessed to have her here. So let us just give a round, a warm round of applause to Pam Perry.
Oh, thank you, Irene. Thank you so much.
Yay.
Very welcome, Pam.
Just for clarity's sake, I just want to mention that I do PR, so those are my clients on the Steve Harvey Show and in O Magazine.
Oh, thank you for clearing that up.
Yes. So that's where I put
clients, even better.
Yes, that's where my clients go. But I have written for some magazines like Gospel Today, and I'm a columnist for a lot of different publications. But I actually had clients on the Today Show and that sort of thing. So, yes. But thank you. Thank you. I love what you're doing, Erlene. This is awesome. So it's good to be here.
Thank you. I'm so honored to have you join us tonight. Thank you for your time. And I know your time is so limited, so we're just going to jump in to the conversation.
Okay.
And, Pam, what I'd like you to do is to just start off, because I just read a few of your credits, which is nowhere near the sum total of what you do or who you are. So please just tell our audience more about your organization, which is Ministry Marketing Solutions, and the work that you do there.
Correct. Ministry Marketing started in 2000, and that was – and motivational speakers, inspirational speakers. And I had a career in public relations. I was director of public relations for the Salvation Army. And I left that when my daughter was born, and I said, you know what, I really want to help ministries, especially urban ministries, African-American ministries, to really get their message out there. And I was just praying one night and just really just trying to figure out what my next move would be. I wanted to stay home with my daughter, and so the Lord just birthed in me Ministry Marketing Solutions. And I was like, wow, that's it. And my first client was actually a gospel play, and then I went on to work with every large church in the city, you know, from Word of Faith, Great Faith. You know, I wrote books for Greater Grace, Straight Gay. I mean, so, and even have worked with T.D. Jakes. So when it started, just as an idea with God, says, you know, I really want you to help promote the ministry so they can go further and faster. And by using my skills that I learned, obviously working in media and worked in Detroit Free Press, and actually just helping people to do that. So I've had a really good, a smattering of clients over the years, and I just, it's almost like they're my children. So when I see authors that have an idea and they come to me and say, I want to write a book, what do I do in order to become a bestseller? Earlene, I have put together like a little list of like the top 10 things that are needed in order to make a bestseller. Can I kind of go over them real quick with you?
What the formula is.
The number one thing that over the years that I found that for an author to actually have a bestseller is, number one, they have to have a title. Is it gripping? Is it interesting? Does it make sense? And would one know what it is? Title is so, so important. And so a lot of times I will work with authors on their titles, and says we need to have it sound a little bit more marketable. We need to have it sound a little bit more like a bestseller. And so that's one of the things that I will do. And authors can't really fight with me and say, hey, you know, God gave me this title. I said, okay, God may have given you that title. I said, but people have to buy it. So let's get a title a little bit more sellable. So really want to make something that's gripping. Number two, and you always hear this, cover. People do judge a book by its cover, so make sure it has enough punch to stand out on the shelves among the thousands of other books. Is it clean, neat, and crisp, yet interesting? So the cover is really, really important. People say, well, how much should I pay a graphic designer to do a cover? It can range anywhere from $250 up to $10,000. You get what you pay for. So I will tell you that I've worked with enough publishers where they have actually paid $10,000 for their covers. And they're primarily novels, because people don't know what a novel is about until they look at the cover, look at the back cover. So you can't spend that much. But I would say the average price of probably going for a cover is about $500 at least. Okay? And that's
so
the Detroit market.
So, Pam, what do you say to those people who are computer literate and they have desktop publishing software I can design my own cover?
No, it's going to look like they designed their own cover. So if you want a professional, book, you need to have a professional to do it. That's what I say. So, you know, I'm really like cut and dry about that. Mm-hmm. Third thing that people will need are endorsements. What others say about you is key. You know, you want people who are quote unquote important or celebrities. Celebrity endorsements are good, but pull together, you know, the best words from the best people. That's always, you know, what I just say. It pre-sells your book before you even open your mouth about the book. So continue, you know, to get reader reviews, even after the book is out, testimonies about the book. But you want to make sure that you get really, really good endorsements. And a foreword is real important, too, F-O-R-E, the before word. Not forward like I'm moving forward, but like a foreword, which is a, you know, a really good foreword for the book, really is what will sell the book before you even write it. So you're a new author, no one's ever heard of you, you've never written anything before, and you're publishing a book. So people are going to be a little suspect. So number four is get writing credentials before your book comes out. Get a byline. If you have a local African-American community in your newspaper, write a column on the subject that you're writing about. Or, you know, write a blog. You know, other things. You know, do you blog? You know, are you branded? You know, as a writer, you know, so you just can't come out of nowhere and say, I've never written anything before. Now I have a 200-page book, you know, so, you know, make sure that you're expert on something and show that in writing, you know, don't be shy about it at this point. So go and get writing credentials. Ask if you can guest blog, write for magazines. You know, if nothing else, I told someone, I said, write a letter to the editor, get published somewhere. Number five, and this is really, really important, is the knowledge of the market that the book will reach. So knowing the target market and the author's reputation in the market. So you have to do a little bit of research, but you have to create a market for yourself, and you have to know what that market is, know what the needs of the market are, what they want, knowing that, you know, understanding thoroughly what they are looking for, and then communicate that right message to the right market. That's the key for the book success. So I never want to go to an author and I say, well, who's your book for? My book is for everybody. And I said, the only book for everybody is the Bible, okay? So your book does have a market, okay? It has a specific market. Not everybody's going to read it. You would like everyone to read it, but in order to sell the book, it needs a market. And so really studying that market, whether it is female, mostly male, if it's old, young, black, white, you know, Midwestern, people that have had trouble with this or that. I mean, so it has a market. And the more you define it, this is just a secret to any advertising, the more you define the market, the more successful the book will be. because then you'll be speaking their language and they will understand. It would resonate with them, and that's really, really important. Number six is timing. Timing into relation of other events going on in the world. Are there movies or songs out about things that are bringing up the subject? Like right now, Batman is about to come out. So Batman is starting promoting, what, last year, right? So now all of a sudden I see a lot of people that are in this area, they're doing like our science center is really doing a bat exhibit. Perfect timing. They got on the news because people are talking about the new Batman versus Superman movie. Okay, so maybe it's not Batman versus Superman, but you talk about Superman, so maybe write a blog. It's like, who is the real Superman? Jesus was the real Superman. I mean, so you've got to know, you've got to stay tuned to the pulse of what's going on. It's political season. I mean, Trump has given a whole lot of people a lot of ammunition to write about. So, you know, do you read the newspaper writing? Do you respond with opinion editorials in the paper? You know, discussing your platform in your topic, you always want to, what they say in PR is you want to give it your spin. You know, so yes, we could be talking about the elections and that sort of thing, but then you want to put your spin on it. Oh, that has to do with. And that's because the newspapers and reporters are looking for that type of information. So the timing of your book is really, really important, what's going on when you're actually launching it. So don't say, oh, I'm going to launch it as soon as it's finished. Well, look and see what's going on. I mean, is it going to be a Valentine's Day? Is it going to be around Christmas? You know, so that has a lot to do with it. Then number seven, advertising. Target the right message to the right media at the right time. So, yeah, an ad does not have to be big, but it just has to be consistent and it has to be attractive to your market. So I said, you know, really a lot of people don't overlook Facebook advertising. It's a great way. Or sponsored posts on Twitter. I mean, those are great ways to really get your right message out to the right market. Facebook is nothing but demographics. That's all it is. It knows exactly what you're punching, who you're talking to. So you can say in Facebook, as far as advertising, I want to reach African-American women 35 to 54 that live in the Washington, D.C. area that like coaches, that are interested in life coaching. Okay, well, fine. That's the market. They'll tell you, okay, there's 10,000 women that could reach. You can buy an ad, and then that ad can actually have people click through to your website to buy your book because Facebook has already predetermined who that audience is. So that's great advertising. It's very cheap, too. You can do like $5 a day. Media coverage is another main ingredient to a bestseller. People think that's the only way to be a bestseller. It's not. It's just part of the recipe, part of the formula, but publicity. That's the frosting on the cake, getting radio, TV, newspapers, magazines, evenings, blog, talk show, radio shows. But consistently with advertising, really pitching the media is what's going to make you a bestseller. You have to have a hook in order to pitch the media, and the timing of your pitches must be synchronized again with what's going on in the world so you're not just looking like, oh, okay, I have no – because reporters and producers, they're looking for things that – people are talking about. So you should really, you know, have a finger on the pulse of what that is. Twitter is a great way to do that. You can look at what's trending on Twitter, and you can actually, you know, kind of pitch your things based on that. And then the ninth thing, in order to have a bestseller, you need to have your book available. So make sure that you sign up with a distributor or wholesaler who, you know, so they're accessible to bookstores. Or if it's not, you know, you don't want it in bookstores, make sure it's on Amazon, just not only on your website. People are leery about buying books only from a website. Make sure it's on Amazon. That's the stamp of approval. And then BarnesandNoble.com. But bestsellers are sold in real bookstores. And they will, and you can only, you know, you've got to go through a distributor or wholesaler. You know, so if you want to know a guide for if you're a Christian market, get the Christian Writers Market Guide. It's by Sally Stewart. It comes out every year. She has a listing. The book is as big as a phone book of all the distributors to approach. And, you know, basically when you're approaching a distributor to carry your book, you have to have solid marketing materials. That includes a marketing plan, a press kit for them to consider you. So that's number nine. And then the last thing, Elaine, is number 10 is word of mouth. That's the best form of advertising. What really sells a book is what people say about it, what they're talking about. You could go to the beauty shop. What are people talking about? If you overhear someone at the health club, what are they talking about? So the more buzz you have about your book, the better. How do you get people talking about your book? basically by engaging in their culture and creating messages in their media, whether it is in social media, but you're creating some kind of buzz. Partner with other authors or find organizations to join Synergy of the Messages. And so, say, for instance, if your book has to do with, I don't know, just lack of a better word, say if it has to do with business, okay? So you want to get with business organizations, you know, so that they can actually talk about your book, or, you know, you can do the little tell-to-sell type of seminars. You know, don't call them book signings, but, you know, call them little mini seminars. You know, if your book is on finance and you want to get with maybe the National Association of Security Professionals or something like that. So you want to find places where those, I guess you would say, influencers are going to be talking. And be relentless. Be relentless for your goal to be a bestseller. It is going to be a long road. You're going to live with the topic for a while. But if you commit to the process and pray for favor, it will happen.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. That was some really, really great information. And I know some of our listeners will probably have some questions pertaining to those top 10 points, but I want to go back.
I can go over them real quick too.
They'll get it.
Okay.
But I
want
to go over number four. I just want to ask you a point about that. You said make sure that there is, I think it's number three actually, that you have a really good forward. When you say a good forward, do you mean in terms of the endorsement itself, or do you mean the person? Do they or should they be someone prominent and well recognized?
The forward is usually someone well recognized, because more than likely you're going to have that forward. That was number three. You're going to have that forward on the cover of your book. So say, for instance, you have a book and then it says, well, forward by Paula White. Okay. So people say, oh, I know Paula White, or forward by T.D. Jakes. I know T.D. Jakes. So even if I don't know you, I know who that forward is by. So it has to have someone who has name recognition, but not necessarily, quote, unquote, a famous person, but someone who has name recognition in the market that you're going. So it could be that I'm a Christian counselor, just give an example. I'm a Christian counselor. And so maybe Tim Clinton, which you may not know, but he's a top Christian counselor, in that space. So maybe you ask him, because you want your book to appeal to other Christian counselors. So you would use him. So you have to kind of like, you know, say, oh, I just want T.D. Jakes to do it. Well, it could be someone else. Let's really look at it. Maybe someone who's a missionary, like Dr. Pat Bailey, or maybe it's someone who is not really a pastor, but someone who is a entrepreneur that is a Christian, that people will know. Maybe it's Les Brown or something like that. So you have to really look and see what the synergy is. And then once you find that synergy, that person says, you know what, the reason why I'm writing this book is because, just throw out a name, Michelle McKinney Hammond really inspired me, because I've read her books, all of her books. I've read all 30 of her books, and she really inspired me to write my book about singles. So I would love for her to write my book. Now, she may not be worldwide famous, but to a particular market, Christian market, who love reading books about relationships and being single and, you know, waiting on God for their mate, she's a perfect person. So then you would actually craft a letter, you know, an email or a letter, and ask her, you know, why you think she would consider being doing the forward for your book, because you've read all 16 of your books, you've followed her for years, you really love her work, you know what she's about, and would she just take a peek at the manuscript? And then you have to wait. You have to give them at least a month, maybe two.
Right.
If they're real busy, maybe three. So
okay.
You have to plan all this out.
Well, let me ask you this, and I think most of our callers tonight are probably authors, or like we said earlier, aspiring authors. But Pam, how important is it to become a number one best-selling author? What does it really mean? And is it likely that you can achieve the same kind of success as a published author with the number one best-selling title as you would as a published author without that title?
Well, once you have a number one best-selling author, I mean, not it just kind of goes without saying that obviously you're going to have that prestige that goes along with that. And so that'll open doors for all kinds of other ancillary products and speaking opportunities and, you know, who knows, movies. And, you know, if it's a novel, it's, you know, a lot of books are opted into movies. And once you get that, that's really, really huge. I mean, so the more you can leverage, but you have to have be very strategic about that.
But see, I find that most people, when they're writing a book, like LaTanya said, she was going through some stuff. So writing was her way of getting what she was feeling on the inside out. And I even said that my reason for writing a book is because, you know, I had discovered that I had learned, you know, I had grown and developed through my wilderness experience. And I had learned that there was something valuable to offer to others. So people have many different reasons for writing a book, and so, you know, usually you want to be noble, you want to help people, but we oftentimes don't think about the bigger picture and about the whole process, the notion of becoming a number one best-selling author. And if we think about it, I think it's something that we kind of put to the side. You know, we know it's a possibility, but do we work toward it? Do we plan it? Do we engage in that process? But like you said, it's extremely important for us to at least have that as a goal, because it does open up doors for other opportunities and for you to become a leader in the field that you're writing about, but also because it increases your credibility,
right.
You know?
Right.
So,
even publishing a book increases your credibility, too. So it doesn't necessarily, you always have to be a number one best-selling author, but it does increase your credibility always.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So, Pam, most people we talk to will say that they have a book inside of them, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that they should write a book, and I say that sincerely because I have attempted to read a few books that I had to put down due to the amount of spelling and grammatical errors and even the style in which the book was written, and it made reading the book kind of challenging. So our show topic tonight is reading, writing, and arithmetic, the foundational aspect of being a best-selling author. So my question to you is, how important is it to encourage writers to also be avid readers in order to be a more successful writer? Or would you say one thing has nothing to do with the other?
Well, no. The best writers are readers. That is for sure. You can. And I always tell that. I said, make your laboratory. Hold on one second.
You did, LaTanya?
I am. I'm here.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. No,
okay, no problem.
The best writers are readers. And I always tell people, make your laboratory the bookstore. Go to Barnes & Noble and spend a lot of time reading all the bestsellers. Don't read everything. Just read the bestsellers. Read the things that people are reading. If you're a Christian writer, get the Christian Writer's Market Guide. Go to writers' conferences and really become a student of reading. Reading the best books. I mean, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, or all the T.D. Jakes books, or reading all of Joel Osteen's. Why? Just try to figure out, like, why are people buying these books by the thousands? You have to understand just the formula of it. And the more you read Joyce Meyer books, you know, so you have to understand this. So, yeah, reading, you know, because someone says, oh, you know, I'm going to write a book. And so what was the last book you read? Oh, I read something, in, you know, when I was in college, you know. So it's like you're not even aware of the market for what it really takes to become a best-selling author, what the market is buying. And what the market was buying 10 years ago is different from what the market is buying today. So you always have to be a student at the bookstore. Go and read the magazines and the books and the magazines from the standpoint of reading the reviews of the books. That's really, really important, because that way you'll understand what the media is saying about the books too.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And I think also being an avid reader also helps you to create ideas and gives you an imagination and somewhat inspiration as well. But as an author, networking is vital to exposing who you are and what you have to offer, but some of us don't maximize our efforts and some of us don't have the proper networking skills. What advice can you share with us in terms of what should be our motivation when we go into these networking events and how we can network more effectively and productively for that matter?
Looking how you can help someone. That's really it. Just looking how you can help someone. You go to give. So when you're networking, you just go to give and as much as you can to help other people. And that's always how I go. You go as a host, not a guest. You go and you just try to figure out how can you add value to whatever situation, every person you meet. And then from that, they'll ask you, when you're asked, what is it I can do for you? That's how you network. You never go with the agenda of, like, I'm going to tell everybody about my book. You go with, like, how can I help people? What are they? You walk with them and say, you know, what are you here for? What are you looking for? And they can say, oh, I'm looking to meet whatever, you know, someone, you know, that can help me with A, B, and C. And you say, well, I know someone. I just met someone a few minutes ago. Let me introduce you. That's how you network. And then they'll say, oh, that was really good. That, thank you so much. How can I help you? Oh, by the way, I am an author. Here's my card. So it's always better when someone asks for your card than you push it in their face.
You know, I'm so glad you said that because there's a lot of information out there about networking. And I know I have read on occasion tips and information about networking. And it's and people seem to have the perspective that it should be only about me. But you just said when you go to networking, it's not really about you. It's about giving. It's about having the mindset set to help others. Because when you help others, eventually you're going to be helped, you know, even if it's not there, somewhere along the line. When you just have a mindset and a focus to help other people, God will then send people to help you when you need help as well. So I love that. I love that.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
So I'm going to ask my co-host if she has any questions for you, and then we're going to take it to anyone in the chat room or on the phone. If you have a question at this time, just press the number one key, and we will bring you on the conversation. Pam, how much more time do you have available tonight?
Probably about 5 more minutes.
Okay, enough. Good enough. Okay, LaTanya, anything you'd like to say?
Nope, she pretty much answered everything. I wrote down all of the 10 tips she suggests, so yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Wonderful. And then my tips, all of those tips, too, are in my book, Synergy Energy, which is on Amazon. It's called Synergy Energy, How to Use the Power of Partnership to Market Your Book, Grow Your Business, or Brand Your Ministry.
And
and my foreword is actually by Dr. Teresa Harrison of Gospel Today.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Pam, I do have someone on the call that has a question, so I'm going to bring them in right now. Hello, you're on the call. State your name and where you're from, please.
Hi, this is Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hi,
How
Angela.
Are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for calling. You have a question?
I do have a question. One of the things that you said, Ms. Perry, is about determining your market. What are some ways to identify the market, especially for the person that feels like their book can be for everyone, but we know that some books aren't for children or teens. But how do you separate and identify when you're writing a book for a large market of adults?
That's a good question. Well, one of the things you can do is ask, and social media has made market research such a really good tool. So you can ask. You can actually poll and would you buy a book that is about this, da da da. You know, you could do it on Twitter, you can do it on Facebook, but you actually poll. You can get together a focus group of maybe 15, 20 people. You can actually then begin to just really get a feel for the market, because we can think in our mind who would read it, but then you just have to ask. You can ask men, women, young or old, and just say, would you buy it? And And really, it's especially in social media, people could feel like they're pretty much anonymous. They don't know you. They don't really feel one way or another, and they will tell you the truth, and they usually do. You know, you should listen to the market. You can also send an email. You could do a survey. I mean, there's a whole lot of there's marketing research companies, but just take some tools that they use. They actually do polls, and they actually do focus groups.
Okay, good.
Oh, wow, that was good. Thank you.
Yes, so did that answer your question, Angela?
I'm sorry?
Did that answer your question?
Yes, that answered it really, that answered it very well. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
And Angela, as you remain on the line, just hit the number one key again, and then if you have another question, you can hit the number one key again, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. So I don't have any questions in the chat room at this time, but Pam, I have one more question for you, and then we'll wrap it up. Can you tell us what is branding and how can authors lay the foundation of branding before even coming to a consultant like you to help take them to the next level?
Well, basically, branding is what people say about you. So you want to position yourself as, quote unquote, whatever that is. You know, so you're branding yourself consistently over and over and over again. It's like, you know, when you really think about it, like a brand. If you're branding like a cattle or something like that, you're doing it and it sticks. So a lot of people will say, oh, I was this part of brand, but now I'm this and that. And so really, branding takes a period of time. A period of time for you to actually become a brand. I mean, it may take a year, it may take 2 years. The longer you work with it, like Coca-Cola, the better brand you are. So a lot of branding has to do with time, but you have to be consistent with it. And really, the more strategic you are with it, you can do it a little bit more quicker. But you know, one of the things that the beginning of a brand, I always say this, is like your mission statement, your vision statement, your logo, understanding your unique colors, what it is that you're doing. So, you know, when you're doing a brand, it's more than a logo, but that is part of it. I always tell people to really start their brand with some really good photos. You know, that really would work as well. When you have some really good photos that brand you. So it's like, oh, I'm going to go take some photos. Well, what kind of brand, what kind of message are you saying with those photos? So that all has to do with your vision and your mission statement about who you are. And then all of that builds your platform as well.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Pam, clearly you are a brand all on your own, a business, an expert, and you know, I know very few people that provide so much free information using your various social media platforms. So thank you so much for that. And I think our audience would benefit from you telling us where we can get all of that information that you have online.
Okay, yes. They could go to my website. It's just PamPerryPR.com. And I have a blog, I have podcasts, I have all kinds of stuff over there. So they can actually go there as well, PamPerryPR.com, and make sure they sign up on my e-list because I actually send out like a tips all the time, you know, branding and marketing tips that I've learned over the years that will help authors and especially aspiring authors just to help them avoid and make a lot of costly mistakes. I mean, they've printed a book and they've spent thousands and thousands of dollars in. They always say, I wish I had met you earlier, you know, so they could have avoided a lot of these errors, you know, that they made. So, you know, it's always good to, you know, just learn from other people's mistakes, but not at your own expense. So, you know, so I try to, you know, avoid that kind of thing. So, yes, so then go to PamPerryPR.com.
And that's the exact reason why we're having this conversation, so that we can help people avoid some of those mistakes that aren't necessary, you know, if they just get the proper information. So, again, we thank you for sharing such valuable information with us tonight. We appreciate you, and we will continue to pray for your continual success.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Erlene. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome, and you take care, and God bless you.
All right. God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Let's give it up for Pam Perry. Okay, so we are now going to break for 2 minutes, and when we come back, we will be joined by our next guest, who is Mr. T.C. Bradley. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Joining us tonight, I hope that you were able to ascertain some really good information from Pam Perry. She did a great job sharing with us tonight. LaTanya, are you there with me still?
Yes, I am.
Any thoughts?
Surely am.
Any thoughts at this time?
No, I'm going to wait till the end.
Okay. Feel free. You don't have to wait
Absolutely.
Till the end.
Okay. No problem.
Okay. So our next guest is T.C. Bradley. And T.C. Bradley is number one best-selling author of God Says When. And he is the founder of the global media firm Instant Celebrity Status. And he is also the visionary behind the global brand God Made Millionaire. He's also the creator of Buy With No Credit Real Estate Investing Program, which sold over $1 million of product from their first website that was launched in 2003. I tell you, people, God has truly blessed us tonight to have some really great and accomplished people with us tonight. So let's welcome T.C. Bradley.
Hey, Erlene and LaTanya, how are you tonight?
I am well,
doing very
God.
Well, thank you.
I have to tell
how
you,
are you
during the I was cutting a two-step in my office during that introduction of your show. I love that intro of
oh,
your
really?
Show.
Oh, really? That's great.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to keep this interview in English as much as I can.
You're sitting on a beach somewhere. So listen, Mr. Bradley, thank you so much. I'm so humbled and honored to have you join us tonight. I think I want to get started by asking you to just give us a brief overview of your background and your business, the work that you do.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you for the opportunity to share with your audience tonight. I certainly don't take that for granted, and I do have a message to deliver tonight, and I want to start out by letting you know that if you're listening to this broadcast and maybe for the first time, or maybe you're here tonight listening, I want you to know that you're not here by accident, that there is no such thing as a coincidence. I believe that God is up to something incredibly big in the lives of his people, but only if you're smart enough to recognize it. I think that there's going to be one of the greatest shifts of wealth and prosperity in our lifetime that we've ever seen of our generation, and it's going to require people to not play small. It's going to require people to walk and rise up into their talents and in their giftings and in their abilities. And being a best-selling author or being an author, certainly a lot of people have that dream and that vision. And I would tell you that 4 years ago on Saturday, I've had quite a bit of success in my business career, but 4 years ago, this coming Saturday, I actually had a sudden cardiac arrest in my home and was clinically dead for a minute and a half to 2 minutes. Now, when I say I was clinically dead, I'm talking no heartbeat, no pulse, and within 10 seconds of me being placed in the ambulance that morning, I actually went into that sudden cardiac arrest and was gone. And my wife was outside of the ambulance at the time, and she knew something was not right. And I have to tell you that all she knew to do was to pray. And she said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus," as she was pacing back and forth. And how many of you know that there's power in a praying woman?
Absolutely.
And at that exact same time, my sister, my baby sister, was up in Detroit on a business trip, woke up, it's about 1:30 in the morning when this occurred, and she started praying, and she didn't know who she was to pray for. So I want to encourage somebody that's listening to this broadcast to know that when you get that whisper, there's a reason that you get the whisper. You know, I got to tell you something. I'm going to be completely transparent. If God wakes me up at 2:30 in the morning, tells me to pray for you, you're probably not going to make it, because I don't get up at no 2:30 in the morning. But you know, a woman, there's such a power and a gifting in a woman, a praying woman. You know, for a woman, for my wife, for instance, all he's got to say to her is daughter. He's just got to say her name, daughter. And she's, "Yes, Lord," and up and praying. And so literally, you know, people talk about I had a near-death experience. No, baby, I didn't have a near-death experience. I actually died, and I came back. And when I was in the hospital, Earlene and LaTanya, I can tell you that I knew that the Lord had saved my life and spared my life for a reason, and it wasn't just for business. I knew that I was to write about this, of what had happened to me. And when I got home that night, now I want to back up on this a little bit, because I didn't tell you the most important part of that story is that I refused to go when the paramedics first came to my house. I was refusing to go. And within 10 seconds of me being placed in the ambulance, I only went because of my wife telling me that I had to go, and I try to do what she tells me to do, right? So within 10 seconds, that's when I had this sudden cardiac arrest. And, you know, Michael Clark Duncan from the Green Mile, he had the same thing happen to him. He didn't make it. The survival rate, just so you're clear on this, the survival rate is less than 1%. If 100 people go through a sudden cardiac arrest, 99 of them are not going to make it. I mean, it is just, It's just not good. And if you do survive, you usually have some sort of mental deficit because of the lack of oxygen and blood flow to the brain. And yet here I was spared. I didn't have any deficits, and I knew that God had saved me for a reason. And I can tell you that I'm not a guy that spends a whole lot of time talking to the enemy, but that period of time when I was laid up in the intensive care unit, I had one conversation, and it was, you should have taken me out when you had the chance. You should have taken me out when you had the chance, because now it's over. Because when I come out, I'm coming out with a reckoning. And ladies, I came home, I was in the hospital, I think about a week and a half. I came home, and day one, I started working on my book, and I started fleshing it out, and my wife was incredibly concerned. She's like, you've got to rest. And I go, you don't realize that, honey, I can't rest until I get this book out of me. I can't. I've got to get this done. I'm not able to sleep properly. It's consuming me. I've got to get this message out. And so within 90 days of being released from the hospital, I released the book called God Says When. And we released it on Amazon, and it shot up to number one on the bestseller list. We actually beat out Joel Osteen's book at the time, and T.D. Jakes had a book. We actually were above them, and even if I only took him out for a day, there's not too many people that can say that they did that. But it was just a huge thing that happened in my life, and what happened is that I noticed how people perceived me. You talked about this earlier in the show, about the benefits of becoming a number one best-selling author. I saw that firsthand. I saw people wanting autographs of my book. I saw people increase speaking engagements. I saw people that wanted pictures of me with the book. I just saw this celebrity status that it created in my life. And really, internet marketing has changed dramatically, and so much so that, you know, the first website that I built, the real estate site that you had cited earlier, we had sold over $1 million of product from that first website. So I'm pretty skilled at internet marketing. But the reality is that internet marketing has changed dramatically. People today have a choice in who they do business with. And invariably, they want to do business with a leader or the expert authority. And absolutely nothing does that for you like becoming a published author, let alone a best-selling author. And, of course, the media coverage certainly gives you instant status as well. And so what I did, ladies, was we actually started a medium publishing firm. And to date, you know, we specialize in helping authors become published authors, not only published authors, but number one best-selling authors. And we do it with velocity. We usually get that done within 90 days when we take on a client. And we're a one-stop shop. I know Pam had listed 10 things to do to become her 10 tips. Well, I only have one tip, and that's call TC. That's all they've got to do. Within the last 2 years, we've actually created 34 number one best-selling authors. We've got clients that are some of the top people in the country as our clientele, some of the top attorneys in our country, some of those that you may have seen on TV. So we've been really, really fortunate, you know, to help people. One of my clients, I would tell you, an interesting story, then I'll turn it back to you ladies for any questions. But one of my clients came to me. Her name is Marilyn, and she lost her daughter, Katie, when she was 28 years of age. Now, Katie, she passed away from cancer, and Katie was a celebrated educator here in Lee County. She worked with the hard-to-teach kids. And she was great at her job, and she was well-loved, very well-respected, but she passed away at 28 years of age. And about a year and a half ago, the Lord woke up her mother, Marilyn, at around 5 o'clock in the morning, and gave her the title to a book, and gave her the cover to the book. And the title is Christianity is Easy Until Tragedy Strikes. And she never had the confidence or the belief in her writing set, but she knew that she was to write this book, and that was about a year and a half ago. And she heard about what I do, and so we took her project on. It was the toughest project that I've ever had to do. I mean, it's the most challenging because her book, it would just bring tears to your eyes, this book that she had. And one of the interesting things is that when we take a client on, the cover, you know, we have that professionally done. And the cover that was selected for this book, I didn't like. It was like my third choice in the bunch that we had created. But it's the one that she picked because it best represented her, what she saw in the dream a year and a half ago. And not only that, but here was the interesting thing. The book, the cover of the book is purple. And I've never in any of my clients used a book that is completely purple. Never. And my designers never submit to me anything that is in the color purple because they know I don't like it. Well, here's this cover. Marilyn says there's something about this, that cover, that purple. I got to go with that cover. And I said, okay, well, we'll go with it. Well, her husband, Andre, which is Katie's dad, said, Marilyn, do you know what Katie's favorite color is? Purple. So it's just an amazing thing what happens when you're able to make this type of an impact. We published her book, hit number one on the bestseller list on Amazon, and now Katie's voice, listen, Katie's voice is heard, you know, through this book all over the world now, because Amazon is the biggest platform that there is. You know, and I think at the end of the day, people want to, you know, people, there's three things that are important. Did I live? Did I love? And did I matter? That's the only three things you're going to really be asking yourself at the end of your life. Did I live? Did I really live? Did I love? Did I really love? And did I matter? Did I make a difference? And so the first two I know about Katie, that those things are true, but I can tell you that now the world knows that Katie lived, Katie loved, and Katie mattered, all because of the sacrifice of her mom to let her voice be heard worldwide through that book. So enough of talking for me. I'll turn this back over to you ladies.
Well, you did practically the whole interview, so I hope our audience got some found all that information to be great information, because I know I did. But what I really liked about what you did is that when I asked you the first question about your background and your business, you were eager to first and foremost share with us your testimony about how God brought you back to life. You know, I love that because, you know, it says that God is first and foremost at the center and that he takes first place in your life, because, you know, we can accomplish so much in this lifetime, you know, but we don't do it in and of ourselves. You know, we do it by the grace and mercy and power of God. And so to just give him the praise right off the bat, I love that about what you did. And you said so much that you really did answer a lot of my questions.
Well, you know, Arlene, the thing is that, you know, I don't market myself as a Christian. I never do that. I know you pay attention to all of my stuff. And yeah. I had a lady last week that contacted me, and she said, are you a Christian? And I said, well, yes, I am. I said, mm-hmm. but I'm a flawed Christian because I'm not perfect,
mm-hmm. right.
you know, and because I'm not. My language isn't always correct at times, and, you know, it just drives my wife batty sometimes. But, you know, the reality is that I have a testimony, and you know, my testimony beats your argument any day of the week. And that's important. A lot of people, you know, you have a testimony in you. And I'll say this. I think, and I'm going to put this out here, Earlene, I think that one of the drivers to me when I look at a client, you know, somebody as a potential client, is this, is that I have people that approach me and they want to do this. They want to become a best-selling author, not just an author, but they want to hit number one and become a number one best-selling author. And if it doesn't consume you, if it doesn't drive you, if you're not going to bed thinking about it and waking up thinking about it, if you're not cooking dinner thinking about it, then you ain't got a book. You ain't got a book, all right? And you shouldn't do it because, to you it's just playtime. It's a hobby. I'm talking to the people that are listening to this that this is what drives them, this is what consumes them, this is what they know. They've got something in them. Because if you don't, then you're just playing. And we ain't got time to play. Not
That's
in the
right.
hour that we live in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with you. Mr. Bradley, self-publishing is extremely popular today, and it has its advantages as well as its disadvantages. But those who self-publish rely heavily on the internet to market their books, which has dramatically changed, and you mentioned something like that already. But how can you still stay relevant in today's marketplace? What are the new trends?
Well, here's the thing, Earlene. I think it's a great question, but I think LaTanya knocked it out of the park at the start of the show when she talked about the difference between publishing and self-publishing. I mean, it was so wise. It was so intuitive. And I, as far as negatives to self-publishing, I don't know of any. I would challenge anyone to give me any negatives with self-publishing. And here's the point, you know, that I make. You could go online right now to Amazon and order a printed version of my book, God Says When. Now, when you go there, you there's no indicator whatsoever that it's self-published by me or by somebody else. Okay, so. A consumer is not going to know the difference between published and self-publishing. The other thing is Amazon has opened up the doorway. They're changing how publishing is done in that the little guy, can get a chance to play, and enter the environment. When I was in that hospital bed in the cardiac intensive care unit, I'm going to tell you the Lord was very specific with me on the book, how it was to look with the black cover, with the white letters, no clouds, no blue skies and clouds. It was very direct with me about the look and also about the publishing side. And I had no idea why. When I started venturing into and we started our media and publishing firm, I have calls from clients all the time, attorneys, for instance. I have a client in California, and she helps the abused women, women that are abused. And she had a book that was previously published that she wanted my help with. Well, she went through a publishing house, and the publishing house was making her jump through all of these hoops to make any sort of a change. A change that if I had control of my work, I could change in 12 hours. They were requiring her to go through a board of directors, an approval process, and then once that approval process occurred, that change could happen within 45 days is what their timeline was. On my book, that anything that I publish and anything for my clients, we control our own work. If we want to increase the price, we don't have to ask anybody. If we want to change the cover, we don't have to ask anybody. So I see absolutely no benefit whatsoever or no disadvantages on the regular publishing, method. There's no disadvantages to self-publishing at all that I can see. Do you have any, Earlene? I don't know. Maybe I can address some.
I was just thinking that some people, who self-publish have to come out of pocket whereby once you, you know, deal with publishing companies, that you may still have to come out to some degree, but it may not be as much as it would be if you were just self, you know, if you were, you know, working with the publishing.
Well, let me put that to rest. Let me put that to rest about the cost factor.
Okay.
Number one, you need something written, and then, as you've also talked about, it needs to be proofread.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be proofed by an editor, and then it needs to be formatted. Amazon, they have two different publishing arms. They have the Kindle version, which is the mobile version, the electronic version, and then they have their paperback version, the print-on-demand division, which is their sister company called CreateSpace. And what CreateSpace will do is it's a print-on-demand company, but it's basically Amazon, but it's their sister company. But when you have your manuscript done, you just have to have it edited, and then you have to have it formatted for the CreateSpace version and the Kindle version, because you can't have the bells and whistles that you can have on a printed version that you can't have on the Kindle version, because it's going to be read. The Kindle version gets read on a lot of different devices. So in essence, you need the formatting done. You need a cover, and these things are very affordable. You know, they don't. You're talking less than $500, and $500 would be at the tops if you would have that done to have it published up on Amazon in two different formats. And of course, you wouldn't have to have 1,000 books because it's print on demand. As consumers and customers are ordering the book, Amazon will print those up and ship those out. So you don't even have to have inventory on hand to do that. So price is not, publishing today is not a price-based decision. It's not really even a faith-based decision, because anyone can lay their hands on $500 if they had to get themselves, you know, at least going and get yourself in the game. So it's not even faith-based, you know, it's desire-based. You know, how bad do you want it? Now, understanding, I'm only strictly talking about the publishing aspect of it. I'm not talking about, you know, companies like our company that, you know, do everything for you and actually do a bestseller marketing campaign and a media campaign. But there's absolutely no one listening to this that couldn't become a published author if you had a book in you and do that relatively quickly in today's marketplace.
Okay. So when you mentioned inventory, because that's one of the things, too, that some people or some, you know, that's, it's information out there about one of the disadvantages of self-publishing is the fact that you have to store your inventory. But I guess you really don't if you go with a print-on-demand company, because you can be a self-publisher and also engage the services of a print-on-demand company. This way you don't necessarily have to store your inventory.
Well, let me say this. I think the real question, that is not a disadvantage. I don't know of any disadvantage to self-publishing. Now, my clientele do keep copies of their book on hand, but usually it's 20, you know, copies or 50 copies or 100 copies. And the way they utilize it is they send it out to, you know, prospective clients and for people thinking about retaining them in business. Because you have to realize, like, even my book, God Says When, my book is a faith-based book. It's my story about what happened that morning 4 years ago. But it's not really a business book. You know, anyone thinking of doing business with me, I can always send them a copy of that book, an autographed copy of the book. And all I pay is wholesale cost for it, you know, $2-3 wholesale for that book, and I can send it out to potential clients. But here's the real rub, and this is what I always tell people, you know, people that come to me, is how are you going to monetize this? How are you, you know, you have got to have something in mind as far as, or a plan, a strategic plan on how you're going to monetize and make money from this book. Because if you're of the mindset that you're just going to become, making millions of dollars from selling your book, from the book sales, I don't think that's very realistic. That's not what we do. You know, the clients that come to us are in, you know, very competitive spaces, and they're looking for an opportunity. Like with you, Erlene, with speaking, for instance, you have a passion for speaking. Well, you're going to make more revenue from your book, your best-selling book, opening doors of opportunity for you with additional speaking engagements and additional media opportunities than you would just selling copies of the book. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, like I've got one of the top criminal tax defense attorneys in the country as one of our clients. His retainer fee to get him is $250,000. Now, he came to me because he had a book that was already published, but it was out of print from 2001. What is more realistic for him? Him selling 40,000, 50,000 copies of a book at a $5 profit, or him sending it to a prospective client, you know, a copy of his best-selling book, and the client choosing him and stroking him a check for $250,000?
Absolutely.
See, you've got to think of how am I going to monetize this? How do I make money with it? That's probably one of the most important questions. Now, in the Christianity is easy until tragedy strikes, you know, Marilyn is in her 60s, and she just wants a little bit of being able to speak and share her story and her daughter's story. And so this is a perfect avenue for her to open up those doors that didn't exist before. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you did answer my next question about monetizing. And what are some things that we can do to become leaders and authorities in that particular field that we write about?
Well, here's the thing. Don't be lazy. You can't be lazy in doing this. You have to realize that, you know, clients that come to me and my media and publishing firm, they're looking for a new reality to be created. What I actually, in essence, do is I create a new reality for people that doesn't exist, and I do that within 90 days. Now, in your particular case, let's say that I take you on as a client, and it is, you know, I do everything I'm going to say I'm going to do. 90 days later, you're number one best-selling author. We've got you some media exposure. Well, they have the people that you're putting this out to, they now have an expectancy in their brain about what they're going to see when they check you out, because everyone's going to check you out. Everyone is going to look on the Internet and see. So priority number one is to have yourname.com, have your website, number one, first and foremost. Number two, your LinkedIn profile has got to be up to speed and up to date. Those are two of the critical things. And you have to be professional, images on all of your social media platforms and on your website. You know, I can't, you know, if I make you a number one best-selling author, Erlene, and they go and they look at your website and it looks like you did it, you know, it's not congruent with them. They have an expectancy in their minds of what they're going to see. And you never want to give a client or a prospective client the reason to say no to you. So professional, you can get nowadays, you can get a professional, you know, picture taken for under $100. You know, professionally done, it looks great. And you're consistent across all of your media channels, all of your social media channels. Your website has got to be impeccable. I mean, if you go and look at my website, tcbradley.com, I mean, it's impeccable. It is impeccable, and it's what you would expect to see if you visited a number one best-selling author. And so I think having the foundation in place, you just can't underestimate it. And the thing about LinkedIn, Earlene, I think there are some people who say, I don't do that social media stuff. I don't do that social media stuff. I say, well, really? Is that right? Do you know why? I don't care that you do LinkedIn or you don't do LinkedIn. What I do care about is that that has a lot of rank in the search engines, and when they Google your name, it's going to come up on page one and probably the top three. So if that is going to happen, Earlene, wouldn't it make sense that you're going to control the conversation of what people see about you and what people read about you?
Absolutely.
So that would be for those of you that are not on LinkedIn, get on LinkedIn. And second of all, don't do this goofy stuff of putting these unprofessional pictures up on your social media be consistent across all of your social media channels and be professional across your media channels because, you know, it's just, you know, God's called us to a spirit of excellence, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
You know, and so I never want to give anyone a reason to say no to me. I want to be impeccable with what I present to people and what I do. And so that to me is like crucial, absolutely crucial, you know, that you have your foundation in the place, you know, so that you can monetize and make money. Because, listen, we're not a nonprofit. We're not a nonprofit organization. You know, we're not. You know, if you're in business, you know, the clients that come to me, they're in business, and they're in business to make a profit. And I have news for you. Profit is not a dirty word. It is not.
Right. Absolutely. But Mr. Bradley, I have to stop you there because we have a few questions in the chat room, and we have less than 10 minutes left for our before we can end the show. So briefly, someone in the chat room on the front line asks, what about a ghostwriter? Can you explain what a ghostwriter is? And has he known any success? Okay, have you known anyone who have been successful at ghostwriting?
Yes. Now, because we have 10 minutes left, I'm going to be lightning fast. Is that okay?
Yes, please. Thank you.
All right. I have your permission to do that?
Yes, please. Thank you.
All right. Because of my positioning in the marketplace, I have people that come to me that are ghostwriters. And typically, anyone that's worth their salt and grain, they charge anywhere between $7,500 up to $25,000. For ghostwriting. In my particular case, what I require, clients that need ghostwriting, what I really need from a ghostwriter is about 120 to 130 page book. And what that requires is about 5 hours of time, 5 hours of interview time. And what you want to do is the ghostwriter that I use, she has a PhD. She's based here in the U.S., she has a PhD, so she's college educated, but her son has Asperger's, which is a form of autism. So if anyone knows anything about that, you know it's just their world and you live in it. And so I use her exclusively, and because she's good, she's ghostwritten about 130 books so far. She takes care of all of my clients for me. And the other thing is her pricing is $2,500. So that's not bad. Now, what's going to be required from you to make that work is about 5 hours of interview time. And what happens is she interviews you for 5 hours, researches some of the stuff that you may already have. That certainly does help. But she transcribes those interviews. And the reason that that's important, Earlene, is because when the book gets written, you want it to be written in your voice, okay? So it's things being said, Earlene, the way you would say them, okay?
Yeah.
So that's why they've got to be transcribed, and so that when the book is written, that comes out in your voice. So that's who I use, you know, for my ghostwriter is somebody that's U.S.-based, college-educated, and you just have to allocate for her time, because otherwise Christina is her name, and she could easily charge the $7,500 to $10,000 easily for what she provides my clients for that $2,500 price point.
Okay, so very quickly, now for someone who feels that they lack writing ability and they really have a story inside of them, they feel, do you think they should let that be a hindrance, especially if they can't afford to pay someone those kinds of, you know, that kind of price to write a book for them?
I wouldn't, you know, number one, you don't have to be a writer, you know, to make that work. If you had a ghostwriter that comes into play, that does it just the way that I shared it, the 5 hours of interview time transcribing it, you know, really it can be fleshed out from that, you know, so you don't have to physically write it. And as far as the investment is concerned, listen, you either have the dream or you don't have the dream. You can't, there's no Dollar Tree for ghostwriters. So $2,500 is not a lot of money when we're talking about your life's work and your legacy and your dream. It's pennies for what we're actually talking about.
And you have to sacrifice, you have to save, you have to borrow, you got to do whatever you have to do to make your dream come true. It may not,
well,
you may what, not
if,
be able
if God's
to do it
called you,
today.
Listen, if God is in it, he's called you to do it, then that'll be that.
Right.
But, you know, you can't let that be, and it's going to cost you money. You know, I mean, I don't do, you know, my medium publishing. I charge, you know, for my clientele. If I take you on as a client, certainly I charge, you know, for my services, just like anyone charges for their services. So you can't penny pinch. You can't do it. But, you know, what I didn't want to have happen in this conversation, Arlene, is somebody listening to this go, well, I just can't do this. Well, no, you can do it. You know, you could actually, you know, get a book published up on Amazon this week, actually, if you had a cover done and you had it formatted properly, which is less than $500 that of cost, anyone could get that done. But, you know, our conversation is about excellence, about greatness, and you got to step up. You got to step up to the plate. What's the other question?
Well, that was it. You answered all the questions. You did a great job. Full of information. Let me see if there's anyone else on the line. Don't want to pass anybody up. Nope, that's about it. You know, we have come to the conclusion of our conversation. Mr. Bradley, do you have any final words or thoughts for our audience before you share with them how they may get in touch with you and get some more information about your organization?
Sure. I'll just close by letting you know that you are not, I'll remind you of the fact you're not here by accident. And I absolutely am convinced that there are some people that are listening to this and they never listen to these types of podcasts or radio shows. And something compelled you to be here. Well, I will tell you that people don't come to me by accident. They come by divine appointment, you know. And so there's a reason you're here. There's a reason that you listened and you stayed on until the very end. So I would honor that and tell you this: life is too short to leave it, you know, leave it here. You know, whatever you have in you, don't take it with you. Do not do that. To reach me, our media and publishing site is instantcelebritystatus.com, instantcelebritystatus.com. And there's about a 40-minute webinar on demand that talks about the bestseller process a little bit more in detail that you can watch. It's on demand, so just allocate about 40 minutes of your time for that. And, of course, if you want to check out godmademillionaire.com, you're welcome to do that. We're going to be building that into a global brand and taking that message to the world. that there is no such thing as a self-made millionaire. All the wealth in the world comes from the Lord. So thank you. And, hey, LaTanya, I'm letting you off the hook this time around, girl, but not
yeah,
next time.
Yeah, thank you. Have a blessed
You're
time.
I'm not going to let you hide out in the weeds the next time we get together, okay,
That's,
girl?
Neither am I. Thank you so much, Ms. Bradley. You are a great advisor and inspiration, and we really appreciate you being with us tonight.
Hey, hit my music. Hit some of that intro music.
Woo. Oh, I'll play it toward the end.
All right, sounds good.
You like that, huh? Thank you so much. So in conclusion, as published and aspired authors, I really hope that this discussion inspired you to a new level of understanding and insight into the publishing world, branding, leadership, and monetizing your efforts. I think both guests did a great job providing, you know, valuable information in those areas. And remember, it's really about embracing the right mindset when being open to opportunities that could create for yourself, that you could create for yourself, not just for monetary purposes, but also for being able to reach more and more people with your message and your ministry. LaTanya, do you have any final thoughts or takeaways?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, good. So thank you for being my co-host tonight. And at this time, but you know what I do want you to do, LaTanya, that you did not get a chance to do, and you have a few minutes to do it, just please take the time to tell us a little bit about your book and where it can be purchased. LaTanya? Hello? Okay, something happened. She got disconnected. Okay, so please go to our website for more information, www.faithwalkent.com, and leave us a message about how you enjoyed the show, and we will see you back here shortly. We have We had a scripture for you tonight, and it's coming from Proverbs 16:3-4. I'm sorry, I thought I misplaced it. And the scripture says, all the ways of a man are clean in his sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for his own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. So that is the word of the Lord. Remember, spending time with God is the key to our strength and success in all areas of our lives. And be sure that you never try to work God into your schedule, but always work your schedule around him, putting him first, as I was commending Mr. Bradley for doing earlier. So, again, thank you so much for tuning in. We look forward to talking to you the next time. Thank you so very much.
Wake up, everybody. Wake up, everybody. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Dead boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world.
Going along,
need some help, yeah.